Welcome to God's Loving Kindness in the Morning. Let's begin with Martin Luther's morning prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have protected us through the night from all danger and harm. And we beseech you to preserve and keep us this day also from all sin and evil, that in all our thoughts, words, and deeds, we may serve and please you. Into your hands we commend our bodies and souls and all that is ours. Let your holy angels have charge concerning us, that the wicked one have no power over us. Amen. The Lord is in his holy temple. His throne is in heaven. The Lord is near to all who are of a humble and a contrite spirit. He hears the requests of the penitent and listens to their prayers. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to his throne of grace and confess our sins. Holy and righteous God, merciful Father, we confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you above all things, nor our neighbor as ourselves, and are worthy therefore to be cast away from your presence if you should judge us according to our sins. But you have promised, O Heavenly Father, to receive with tender mercy all repentant sinners who turn to you and with a living faith seek refuge in your fatherly compassion and in the merits of the Savior, Jesus Christ. Our transgressions you will not regard nor count them against us. Relying upon your promise, we confidently pray that you would be merciful and gracious to us and forgive us all our sins to the praise and glory of your holy name. Amen. On Sunday mornings, we like to have a confession of faith, and we'll share the Nicene Creed with you this morning. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who, for us and for our salvation, came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and is seated on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Events in today's Bible reading come towards the end of Jesus' ministry. Remember Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday? That's when today's lesson happens. Israel was part of the Roman Empire. There were a number of political groups at the time. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were represented in the Jerusalem government and were concerned with maintaining the status quo. They felt the Roman government was undesirable, but they could live with that. There was much political tension among the people in Jesus' day. Today's gospel lesson talks about recognizing the times people live in. It talks about Jesus telling what time it is. He knows about Herod and Pilate and the scribes and the Pharisees and those Sadducees. And he knows he will be the sacrifice for the sins of the world in just a matter of days. Today's lesson is Luke 19, verses 41 through 48. Now, as he drew near, he saw the city, that's Jerusalem, and wept over it, saying, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you, and your children within you, to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house is a house of prayer,' but you've made it a den of thieves." And he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him, and were unable to do anything, for the people were very attentive to him. The central question that we have for this little piece of scripture is this: why wasn't the world ready for what Jesus had to bring? What was the problem with their clocks? There was no problem with the people. The problem was this, the big idea. Leaders of the people did not want to hear the things of God. As we look at this section of Scripture, we see that there are several points that we can bring out. The first has to do with this. There is turmoil when people are not right with God. Looking at verses 41 and 42. Jesus comes into town by entering from the Mount of Olives, which means he was seeing Jerusalem laid out before him as he came down the mount. Jesus sees the big picture for Jerusalem. People are separated from the Father. It brings tears to Jesus' eyes. The scripture says God's heart grieves for his people. Things here in Luke are no different from God's lament in Deuteronomy, which said, Deuteronomy 5:29, "Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children." The point here is this. We have a problem when we don't know God. We have a problem when we fail to recognize God's anointed, his only Son, Jesus Christ. It's really simple. If you don't know God, you don't know peace. That's what this says. But there is more to it. If there is no peace, there is only destruction, which gets us to our second point in verses 43 and 44. There is destruction when people are not right with God. Jesus does not dwell on Jerusalem's condition. Jesus sees the outcome of such hearts. No, Satan hasn't changed his strategy from Jesus' time. If he's going to destroy a marriage, for example, the first thing he tries to do is separate the spouses by building walls, cutting them off from one another. He uses the same strategy in Jerusalem. Once the barriers are up in a relationship, no one can move the relationship. People are locked in. Satan used the same strategy in Jerusalem. But the outcome is destruction. The dismantling of the marriage, the satanic strategy ended up with the ultimate dismantling of Jerusalem. Satan uses the same strategy on families, on friends, on businesses, on cities, on nations. Same strategy as in Jerusalem. Without spiritual discernment, people have no idea what is happening. Same strategy that Satan used in Jerusalem. No wonder Jesus wept. Luke 19:43 through 44 gives us the very words of Christ. "For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." God is not limited by our vision. That's the point. Jesus Christ sees the hearts of the people of Jerusalem. Are our hearts any better? How many barriers have we each erected in our lives so that Satan can dismantle us? We can have no peace with Jesus Christ, and we can have only turmoil and destruction if we are not right with our Heavenly Father. If we only knew what it makes for peace. Now look at Jesus here, verses 45 and 46. Only Jesus can straighten out a life that has no peace with God. Jesus goes to the spiritual center of Jerusalem. The den of thieves are identified. things haven't changed much, have they? Don't we have problems in 2007 with religious people misrepresenting God's desires for people so that they can separate believers from their wealth? Jesus does not stop with identifying the problem. He intervenes. The eternal Lord Jesus Christ, God made flesh, fully understood what was going on. He had seen it before, Jeremiah 7:11. Has this house, which is called by my name, God says, become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, even I have seen it, says the Lord. The point is this. When we're not right with God, Jesus seeks to straighten things out. Jesus Christ did what the power structure was reluctant to do and what the leaders of Jerusalem would not do. Jesus Christ can straighten out our lives just as readily if we are open to Him. You see, Jesus has the direction we need for peace with God. Looking at verses 47 and 48, only Jesus has the direction the world needs to be right with God. Jesus cleansed the temple. The power lay in Jesus, in hearing Jesus. Studying God's Word changes things and brings peace. Jesus Christ, we call Him the Word made flesh, does the same thing. Luke 19:47 and 48 says, "And Jesus was teaching daily in the temple. But the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy Him and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear Him." That's what happens when people hear God's Word. You see what studying God's Word does. Shouldn't we ask ourselves, where am I in my study of God's Word? Are you into God's Word every day? Are you taking advantage of study opportunities? The point here is this. Jesus opens God's Word. The people are at peace as they hear God's gracious work, and the world doesn't know what to do. It was only when they stole Jesus away in the middle of the night on Maundy Thursday that things changed. But the Bible tells us clearly that Jesus knew what was happening, and He willingly laid down His life on the cross for you and me. The big idea is this. Leaders of the people did not want to hear the things of God. Do you see why you and I need to pray for our leaders in this world of ours? We need to pray that they would hear the full counsel of God and be obedient to the desires of our Heavenly Father, of His Son, Jesus Christ, and of His Holy Spirit. Amen. As we end our time together, let us join in the prayer our Lord Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning devotional is brought to you by your friends at historic Zion Lutheran Church in Silver Hill. We believe that the Lord calls on His people to worship Him and share His Word. Zion Lutheran Church is located on the corner of 7th Street and 4th Avenue, one block south of State Highway 104. We worship each Sunday at 10 a.m. with a traditional Lutheran service. Zion is located one block south of State Highway 104, near the historical Silver Hill Library. We share the Lord's Supper on the first and third Sundays of the month. Do you want additional information about our Lutheran fellowship? Go to our website, www.lutheransinsilverhill.com, or call us at 945-5209. God bless you. Have a good day.